In addition to providing reliable Bible teaching, Insight for Living has become a model for pastors and churchgoers all around the world. Because Chuck Swindoll shepherds a local flock, and because Chuck has based his philosophy of ministry on the truth of Scripture, many people look to Insight for Living as a benchmark for healthy church families. On today's program, Chuck describes the New Testament model that shapes the congregation where he serves as senior pastor. But first, the Stonebriar Community Church Choir sets the tone with this reminder that God makes everything beautiful in His time.
It's a wonderful thing to remember that God never loses His way. He never loses His way. He knows what He's doing, and He's doing it in His time. Unfortunately, when you're younger, you don't realize how true that is, because everything you want now, you want quickly. And you look upon waiting as a waste rather than a worthwhile way to spend your time. But he does everything beautiful in his time. We have as one of our favorite verses, he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. They work together for good. All things are not good. And all things that happen are not pleasant. But all things ultimately in God's timing and as God carries out his way, there's a beautiful pattern that unfolds. Some of you find yourself right now in the midst of the difficult part of all of that, and it's hard for you to accept that. I understand. I was sitting down here rehearsing in my mind those few occasions in my own life where I really struggled with the leading of God and the things that he was putting us through as a couple and putting me through as a person. Looking back, it all makes sense now, but then it did not. And you may be right there. So I hope what you heard sung will be accepted, perhaps for you right now, simply by faith, knowing that one day the beauty will appear, even though right now it certainly doesn't seem to qualify as such. We're sort of tracing the experience of the apostles. They are disciples turned apostles following Jesus' resurrection and his commission and his ascension and then his sending of the Holy Spirit and what happened to those disciples turned apostles. And we come to the third in a group of three messages that have sort of covered those days and weeks following the events that Matthew records. We've come to Acts chapter 2 in the last several verses. I'd like for you to turn there. You follow along beginning at verse 41, because here we have the original, one and only snapshot of the first church. There's never been a church before this moment. This is the first one. So what we're reading here, all of this is original work that God has done. And Luke records it for us in Acts 2, 41 to 47. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
listening to Insight for Living. And now it's time for the fourth and final study in the brand new mini-series called The Great Commission. Chuck titled his closing message, An Original Snapshot of the First Church.
One church looms large in most everyone's memory. Stop and think. It may be the church you attended from your birth on through your childhood and into your teenage and young adult years. In reality, it was your parents' church. And in a strange sort of way, you were sort of adopted into it. It became your church. And when I ask you to remember a significant church, that's the one you remember. It looms large in your mind. For others, when you grew and became a young adult and left home for whatever reason, you were then at a place where you needed to make a decision and a change regarding churches. No longer attending your home church, as you might call it, or your parents' church, you're now on your own choosing a church based on where you were at that time in your life. And you look for certain qualities in that church, and possibly that became the most significant of the churches you've ever attended. Because for the first time, as an adult, you made that decision, you began to attend, and you derived the benefits of being in that fine church where you grew. And you learned much. You became spiritually self-sustaining. For others, it may be the church you decided to attend when you got serious about spiritual things. Now, let me go further. That meant, and now I speak from experience, that meant you needed to leave the traditions of the familiar faces, long-term friends, familiar buildings, events, memories that you had that had been a part of your life all through those years, and you decided you would find a church that taught the truth. Now that you realize you will never grow in the church you have been attending, you need to make a serious decision regarding a change of churches. For some people, that is a major, major decision. Partly because you've been a part of that earlier church all most of your life. And it's the church where people assume you will always be. And when you decide to leave, well, they begin to look at you over the top of their glasses, like, what exactly are you doing? We're your church. And you find it hard to say the whole thing, because the whole thing would sound negative. And you don't want to make waves necessarily. You just want to go to a place where you can start growing and get serious about your faith, because you know that this church where you now want to attend will be faithful to teach the Bible, will instruct you in the truths of what God's Word says and what it means, and even if it means walking away from many things you've found comfort in and held dear, you're willing to do that. We did that as a couple, and I'll remember it to this day. It wasn't easy in one sense, because we were misunderstood. Things were said about us, mostly behind our backs, and opinions were shared which were not based on fact, and they had no clue why we would be interested in going to another different church when this is their church, and we've always been a part of it with them. Tell you the truth, we never to this day have regretted making the change. I think I may be speaking to some who need to hear what I'm saying. Wherever you may be and whatever that church you may prefer might be, you might be right there. Can I say to you, do it. If you are not growing, if you are not being challenged, if you are not being confronted with the truth of God's word regularly, you are missing out. No matter how much tradition or how much comfort or how many friends, you are missing out in the years to come as you begin your walk with Christ seriously if you do not go to a place where you really can grow. Some of you think back to the early church that you think of right now, and it was a balanced church, and you never had to move anywhere else. It was a great place. And if that's true, how blessed you have been. Growing up in a place like that, growing strong in the Christian life in a healthy place, how blessed, and I might add, how rare you are. Maybe your earlier church was a legalistic place, and you can still remember the rules and requirements and expectations. You can still remember when you broke with those rules, how you were shunned and confronted and sometimes disciplined because you didn't fall in line with what the preacher said you need to be doing. And it was his list, not a biblical list, but his requirements for your spiritual life. It may have been a liberal church that hardly turned to the Bible. Maybe a half verse here or a verse there or a reference to something from the Bible. We attended one early in my life when my dad took our only car and went away to work during the war. The only church left was the church down the street. It was a liberal church. And I remember the pastor, he would open his Bible and he would read the half verse and go, "Thus ends the reading," and then he would go off on some subject. And that was the sermon. And we never heard anything further from the Bible in anything near exposition. It was a liberal church. Whatever it might have been, there are mental snapshots that have embedded themselves in our minds. You have them, each one of you. You have formed opinions about church based on your own experience. My desire today is to bring you back to the original snapshot. And if it's at all possible, to have you see the magnificence of the first church that God established. The Holy Spirit was the leader. And if I may stay with the word picture of a snapshot, Dr. Luke was the photographer. He took the snapshots. He recorded what he was led to record. And we have it for us in the last few verses of Acts 2. This is the first place the church is on record. These are the first scenes from the very first church. I love it when I come to it's called a passage of primary reference. This is it for the church. There is no earlier picture of the church than Acts 2, 41 to 47. Oh, there had been gatherings, and there certainly had been synagogues, and there had been believers, groups here and there. But there had not been a deliberate gathering of people in what could be called an ecclesia, an assembly of believers that made up a church until the book of Acts chapter 2, where it is described for us in verses 41 through 47. Now, when we look at these seven verses, I want us to answer four important questions. First of all, I want you to turn to Acts 2, 41 through 47. And I want you to open your mind, do your very best to set aside whatever may have been your opinions, your experiences, if I may, your hang-ups, the things that had turned you against the church, and let's let the truth permeate as you hear the click of the inspired camera as Luke records the scene as it took place. Here's the first question. Who formed the first church? Well, let's go with numbers to start with. How many were there? The first reference to numbers in Acts 1 and 2 is in 1:15. Turn there. Look at chapter 1, verse 15. You will read, during this time when about 120 believers were together in one place. So there's 120. They were a part of this church I'm going to show you and read about in chapter 2. 120. Look at chapter 2, verse 41. Here's another number. Those who believed what Peter said, this is a reference to Peter's first sermon, which we've not taken the time to go into. You've read it and we've studied it before. Those who believed what Peter said, that's the gospel, they believed that Christ died and was buried, and that Christ rose again from the dead, miraculously and bodily, and was seen by those around him. And they believed in Jesus Christ with their hearts, and they believed the message that's called the gospel, and the result is they were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000. Now, what makes me smile is that I sometimes meet people who frown when you talk about being a part of a large church. The very first church was 3,120, if I number correctly, and since he added to them daily, end of the chapter, it was larger than that. This is a big church. How big is this? How big is that many people? Well, it just dawned on me while I was in my study, that's the size of this worship center, this sanctuary. We can seat a little over 3,000 if every seat is filled. So if we fill every seat in this room under this roof, and we add 100 or so seats out in the atrium, we have enough room for this many people who formed the first church.
This is Insight for Living, and Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, An Original Snapshot of the First Church. There's still more teaching to come, and we urge you to keep on listening. Today's study represents the final portion of a brand new collection of four sermons. You can purchase the entire set on CD or find downloadable audio files by going to insightworld.org/store. Look for the mini-series called The Great Commission. Now, Chuck, you've intentionally selected this study as a major theme for the month of June because this mandate from Jesus truly represents what we're all about.
Yes, that's right, Dave. From time to time, we find it necessary to pull back the curtain and give you an unobstructed view behind the scenes. As a valued member of our listening family, you need to know that we're facing an overwhelming financial need that could impact you in the days and months ahead. Giving levels have dipped well below our capacity to maintain current ministries. And our need is nothing short of urgent. And yet, even in this crucial hour, we're absolutely confident that loyal friends like you can help us close the gap before the June 30th deadline. If everyone who benefits from Insight for Living Ministries pitched in and did their part, we would readily take care of the shortfall. So let me thank you in advance for generously investing, so that together we can fulfill the Great Commission and make disciples of all the nations. Giving is really simple when you go online, or give us a call, or write us a letter. In closing, let me express my warm sentiments toward our friends like you by reading this warm affirmation to the people of Philippi. Listen to Philippians 1, verses 3 through 7, as they are found in the New Living Translation. Paul wrote these words, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. So you have a special place in my heart because you share with me the special favor of God."
All right, thanks, Chuck. Choose one of two methods to get in touch with Insight for Living today. If you're listening in the United States, give by calling 1-800-772-8888. Or give a donation online by visiting our website at insight.org. Our phone number once more is 1-800-772-8888. Or give online at insight.org. Join us again Friday when Chuck Swindoll continues his brand new study titled The Great Commission, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, an original snapshot of the First Church, was copyrighted in 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.